This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence with a preview of one of the pianists who will be performing at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Micah McLaurin is a recipient of the Gilmore Young Artist Award. Every 2 years, the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival awards two individuals with this prize, which comes with $15,000 and a commissioned work dedicated to the pianist. So, Micah, would you tell me the story of how you found out that you had won the Gilmore Young Artist Award?
It was on July 4th. I was at home in Charleston, South Carolina, and I was about to go to Paris the next day for a summer program on the festival in Fontainebleau, and Dan Gustin emailed me the night before and said, please call this number, we have some important information for you. And I got really nervous because I didn't exactly know what it was. So, and I of course have heard of this award, and so I was thinking, could it be that? And then so the next day I called, and that's how I found out.
Was it nice to know that you had already done all the work necessary to prepare for this award, that it was you were judged anonymously and had no idea you were under consideration for the Gilmore Young Artist Award?
Yeah, that's the great thing. I was totally surprised. It was really awesome.
You must also, you know, being at the Curtis Institute, have friends and be among other incredible pianists and probably look around and think any of my friends here could become a Gilmore Young Artist.
Right. Two of the students there have already gotten it, Andrew Hsu and Daniel Hsu. And like I said, I was really shocked because it's such a prestigious award and I didn't know what I had done to get it. And I had no idea I was under consideration.
Would you tell me about growing up in Charleston, South Carolina, and what kind of access you had to classical music, practicing, great pianos, great teachers?
Well, my immediate family is not musical at all, but my grandmother plays the piano. And when I was 8, she gave my family her old piano. And so that's how I started piano. And well, I've studied with 3 teachers so far. And the first one was Marcia Gerber. I studied with her when I was 8 until 13 for 5 years. So I began with her. And then I went to Enrique Graf. He taught at the College of Charleston. And I think that was one of the most important parts of my development. And he helped me so much with my career and meeting people and my playing and developing my repertoire. And then after 5 years, I came to Curtis, and I'm sitting with Robert McDonald now, and he's really wonderful.
When did you join the Curtis Institute?
In 2013.
Do you happen to have a fish-out-of-water story about your first few months?
Yeah, I think it was like a fish-out-of-water. Since I came from homeschooling, I was homeschooled from 8th grade until college. And, I mean, I was really excited to come to Curtis and to go to a school. And but I had a really difficult time at first. It was a really big adjustment the first semester, and I was adjusting to my new teacher and all sorts of things, just a totally new lifestyle and making new friends. But I love it, and I loved it, and I've always loved it.
One thing that I would like to focus on, I think that happened while you were studying in Charleston, as well as after you got to the Curtis Institute, is your opportunities to go outside the United States and participate in competitions and festivals, you've been able to see parts of the world that many young people your age haven't been able to. Would you tell me about some of the places you've been and how you were able to go?
Well, I remember my first trip abroad. I was 14, and I went to Italy for a music festival that my teacher founded, Enrique Graf. I was extremely excited about that. And I went there 3 years in a row, and I also went to Germany for the Esslingen competition for young pianists. And I think that's one of my most memorable experiences. I won the second prize, and the competition was, it was just a great memory, really.
Did you get to see Germany at all and go on the trains, talk to the folks in Germany, to meet people?
I did. Yeah. I had some family friends who lived there, and I was coming from Italy before that competition, and I stayed in Stuttgart for a week before I went to the competition. So, yeah, I definitely saw some of Germany.
I think I saw Verbier Festival as well on your biography. That's in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. I went there in 2011, and I was really young. And it was in the mountains. It was one of the most beautiful places I've seen. But I'd probably say my favorite city I've been to is London.
London.
I went to England for the Leeds competition, but after that I visited London just for fun, and it was amazing. Because usually if I go somewhere, I don't have the opportunity to really enjoy it, but I went to London only to enjoy it, so it was really great.
Does the chance to go to various spots in the world and interact with different cultures and different peoples and ways of life affect how you feel about music and your own practice of music?
I would say, yeah, it does. I learned from the audience is different and everywhere you go. Sometimes you respond well to the audience. Sometimes you don't feel connected. So that's a big part of it. The audience is really different all the time, and as well as the ideas of the musicians and the different ways of thought. So it's definitely many different influences that come from all of it.
So here at the Gilmore Festival in Kalamazoo, you'll be performing a solo recital in two places. First, on Sunday, May 1st at Aquinas College in Grand Rapids, and the following day, Monday, May 2nd, in Stetson Chapel at Kalamazoo College. The program will be the same for both performances. So let's talk about the music that you've prepared for your appearances at the Gilmore Festival. This concert begins with the sonata Kirchhoff 283 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I have trouble remembering which sonata is which based on the Kirchhoff number. Could you hum or sing the melody of the first movement, how it begins?
Okay, hold on. It's dum da dum da dum dum da dum da dum da dum da dum. You know it?
Yes, yes, of course. Got it. Beautiful, beautiful. Why did you choose to begin your recital with a Mozart sonata?
Well, the other music in my program is very romantic, and I wanted to have something lighter with it. And I also, I'm really passionate about Mozart, so I wanted to include the things that I love on the program.
I remember as a young musician putting Mozart in a category that went, it's too too simplistic and easy or something. Mm-hmm. And I went straight to the Romantics and Brahms for a long time before I even got a clue about how to appreciate Mozart. How did you gain an appreciation so early? Was it just studying the music?
I guess it just, Mozart always hit me since I was young. And so, but when I played it, it's been incredibly difficult. It's so exposed. And I think it's almost, it's really one of the most difficult of anything you can do. And I love it anyway.
Well, what a great way to begin. This is followed by César Franck's Prelude, Chorale, and Fugue. The title strikes me as quite dry, you know, it's harking back to Johann Sebastian Bach. But what we find with Franck is that he is anything but dry or emotionless. It's interesting that he chose these forms to express himself in such a romantic age. He was sort of going against the grain at the time, I think. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think it's really a masterpiece. It's not so often played. It's an incredibly powerful work, and that's why I was drawn to it, and definitely extremely emotional and very touching in every way.
Could you tell me who introduced you to the piece, if it was Enrique Graf or Robert MacDonald, or did you find it another way?
My previous teacher, Enrique Graf, wanted me to play it years ago, and I wasn't drawn to it back then. I thought it was weird. It was strange, and I just didn't love it so much. And then I had to pick a French piece of music for something I was doing, and I chose this one, and I fell in love with it. So it really grew on me. And I think, in general, a lot of people may feel the same way. That they won't love it at first, but I think it really grows, and it's a mess.
We've covered the first half of the recital, the Mozart, followed by the César Franck, and you come back with a mini Liszt recital, which is very exciting. With Liszt, you can choose such variety of difficulty, emotion, his different periods of the young, brilliant virtuoso all the way to his later, more mystical pieces. Would you describe the pieces that you're playing by Franz Liszt?
I'm playing the Etude No. 9, Ricordanza, and I think it's a little Chopin-esque, a little like a nocturne, but very virtuosic one, glittery, and it's just very, very beautiful. And then the Liszt Funerai. It's actually about a war, so it's very contrasting to the Ricordanza. It's very loud, and there's a very beautiful melody in it. It's really, I think it's one of his greatest melodies. Thank you. the Mephisto Waltz is one of his most famous pieces and one of his most difficult. And it's really a showpiece and a crazy, really chaotic, and it's like the epitome of this. These pieces based on personal feeling. Most of it wasn't based on anything academic. It was what I was drawn to at the time, and I'm still drawn to it. So.
When I look at the program, I see that the technical virtuosity required here is at a very high level. In fact, in order to be comfortable, I think, playing this recital, you have to have gone through a process where the notes and the technical parts are behind you and you can finally relax and express.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Definitely true. I mean, it certainly takes time and a lot of hard work to get over that bump of to be comfortable to express the music. After you overcome the technical difficulties, then you have the responsibility of the music, and then you can concentrate more on it. So it's really a process, yeah.
There's one thing we should cover. This is your concerto performance with the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra on May 7th. What is the concerto you perform?
I'm playing the Tchaikovsky First Concerto. It's my first performance of it.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure you're excited about that.
I'm extremely excited. I think it's the piece that everybody hears when they're little. And when I was 6 years old, I was listening to it, and I'm finally playing it. So I'm very excited.
Thanks so much, Micah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Micah McLaurin is a Gilmore Young artist. He studies with Robert McDonald at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia and has won top prizes from several international competitions, including the Ettlingen International Competition for Young Pianists in Germany. His first appearance during the Gilmore Festival is in Grand Rapids on Sunday at 3 p.m., On Monday, he'll appear at Stetson Chapel on the campus of Kalamazoo College. He'll also perform with the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra in Battle Creek on Saturday, May 7th, playing the Tchaikovsky Concerto, and in South Haven on Friday, May 13th, at First United Methodist Church of South Haven. Details at thegilmore.org.